All right, we call the third case on our docket and our last case for submission on oral argument today, Kempston versus Redden. And I understand Mr. Minton is here to argue for the appellant. We appreciate your patience in giving us just a moment to give Mr. Hartman a call, who is not able to be here. And we'll let you proceed.
Thank you, Your Honor. May it please this honorable court. Good morning. I know that the court's time is valuable, and I'm not going to take up a lot of it. I'm going to address the issue that I wanted to raise when I originally requested oral argument, and that is whether there is legally sufficient evidence of damages to support the judgment in this case. And it's my position. Let me just say three things. Lee versus Dykes, Lee versus Dykes, Lee versus Dykes. Oliver Wendell Holmes described the United States Supreme Court as nine scorpions in a bottle. I can't imagine what two courts of appeals in one building in downtown Houston is like, but the courts of appeals have taken two different approaches to this case. I think that the court has to look at the damages question in the context, the larger context of what was going on between these folks. And this was kind of a business divorce. It was kind of like a cowboy movie where the cattle baron says, well, if we can't buy out the sod buster, let's burn him out. Setting aside all of the facts relating to who picked up the trailer, when did they trespass to get the trailer, one thing is abundantly clear. And this affects the damages issue, there's no clear evidence as to when this supposed conversion took place. There's no clear evidence as to where it took place, and I think that directly affects the standard of what was the value of the property in Wise County? Well, was it even converted in Wise County? If that's some kind of a concession by the appellee in its findings of fact that were submitted to the court, I'm happy to take that. But let me get directly to the point of why I think that mere purchase price alone is not legally sufficient evidence in this case. This is not a situation where Mr. Redden went and bought this stuff at Lowe's Home Depot or Lowe's Home Labyrinth or whatever store, left it in the packaging and put it in the back of his truck, and Mr. Henson came along and took it while it was still brand new. This was a situation where Mr. Redden testified that he had gone and purchased it. The open market, I've never been able to go to Lowe's and talk somebody down on price of building supplies. I mean, he got the contractor's price for the stuff, and then he turned around and used it. And their argument, well, there wasn't a lot of time that passed between the time that the items were purchased in December 2006 and January 2007. So we can go with the purchase price. Well, let's remember what they did. They hooked all the hoses up. They mixed the chemicals together. They filled the hoses with goop trying to get this thing to run. So at the whether it was converted at the shop in the mid-cities in Tarrant County, or whether it was converted, whether it was 3 days later according to my client or 6 weeks later according to Mr. Redden, the fact of the matter remains this was used goods. And the only thing we have, and if you look at page 16 of the trial court's record, and I assure you, I read Lee versus Dykes very carefully before this case went to trial. And there was a reason why there was, because I was told there would not be any other evidence other than the purchase price, I did not object at trial. Now, Mr. Redden could have testified as the owner of the property what the value was to him. Porras versus Craig says he could do that. But the standard or the measure of damages in a conversion case is the reasonable market value, a fair market value, they're kind of interchangeable, at the time and place of conversion. We don't know what the time and place of conversion was, or at least I don't think it's clear from the record. It's, at best, it's an either-or proposition. But the fact of the matter remains, all we have is them introducing the receipts and then reading what the receipts say. Under Lee versus Dykes, this is clearly inadequate. I understand that this is a small case. The damages are less than $5,000. But as the court can surely understand, that amount of money can be important to people who aren't used to dealing in three figures, let alone four figures or five figures. And I think that the rules have to be the same for the small claims as well as the big ones.
And it is the value at the time of conversion.
Yes.
As opposed to the value when I get it back, or if I get it back.
If you don't get it back, then it's then the case, yeah, because if you get it back, then you've got the option of loss of use, or you've got the option of suing. You don't have to take it back. In this case, because they're claiming that the property basically that it's solidified in they said that it was worthless. But what was it worth? You know, these weren't new hoses in the packages. These weren't chemicals that had been kept separate so that they wouldn't do their little reaction thing that they were supposed to do in the machine. It may seem technical to the court, but it's no different than a personal injury case where you're trying to recover past medical. You can put in every medical bill your client received, but if you don't either have a custodian of records testifying by affidavit that those are reasonable and necessary medical charges at the time and place they were incurred, or you don't have a doctor, there is case after case after case from probably every court of appeal in this state, and certainly the Supreme Court says, I'm sorry, you know, you can put the receipts in, doesn't prove anything. And I think that is analogous to what we have here. I look at all these unpublished opinions, especially from East Texas. When I was in law school, my dad still practices law in East Texas. When I was in law school back in the 80s, I used to kid him about East Texas being the fountainhead of no evidence jurisprudence. But if you read all these unpublished opinions in these conversion cases, courts don't like to deal with conversion cases because they usually arise out of people who are fussing and fighting. And that's why I referenced at the beginning of this that this was kind of a business divorce between Wesley Henson and Mr. Brophy, his former partner. All of the cases that the appellee relies on that this somehow or another is sufficient evidence are all distinguished in Lee versus Dykes. And Lee versus Dykes relies on what I would concede is an implied finding by the Supreme Court in the Redmond versus Ivy case, where they, I don't remember if they affirmed in totally the El Paso Court of Appeals, but the Lee court certainly believed that this was sufficient instruction from the Supreme Court that they could rely on this as a precedent for their determination. The Marley versus Wallace case is a non-published opinion. It has no precedental value, and quite honestly, I think is contrary to Porras versus Craig because they said, well, he didn't object. Well, I didn't object because there was nothing to object to. This was irrelevant evidence until somebody tied it up. I realize that in cases like this, you know, it's easy to write an affirmance. It's easy, you know, the idea that it might just get, I get the impression some of these courts of appeals just wanted to sweep the cases under the rug. But Lee versus Dykes, to me, I think is the correct case. I think, and one of the reasons I think it is correct is this. Look, you know, a gold and diamond engagement ring, it's not going to physically change over time. And if that's the case, and if in that case purchase price is legally insufficient evidence to support an award for conversion, then that should be that much more so the case when we're talking about, you know, hoses that are full of chemicals and over the process of time it solidifies or ruins them or knocks them out. You know, whatever. It renders the property valueless. But my client was the one being sued. We didn't have the burden of proof. And in my opinion, this is no different than if they had proved up the acts of conversion and sat down without proving up any damages. Without a determination of damages, there can be no recovery for conversion. I would suggest also that the court look at findings of fact 6 and 7 in the record that we requested. This wasn't a purchase on the open market where you go into a market in Acapulco and you start going from $12 a blanket down to $2 a blanket. These were set prices by the merchant and were not evidence of what this stuff was worth. Even if it was 2 or 3 months later, it was 2 or 3 months later where it had seen use. Could this problem have been remedied by a little bit more questioning from plaintiff's counsel? Probably. But it wasn't. Mr. Redden didn't use the magic words fair market value. He didn't use any words. He said, these are my receipts and here's what they say. So, you know, setting aside this whole Dukes of Hazzard scenario about how the trailer got moved around, in the final analysis, they don't have the evidence to support the award of damages. And you're ultimately going to have to take a stand. And I think that Lee versus Dykes is correct on this issue. That's really all I have to submit. I wasn't planning on doing a solo show, but I'm not going to take up any more of your time. If you have any questions, I'm happy to answer them. I either made no sense or complete sense. Thank you for your time.
Well, we thank you for your patience while we try to reach opposing counsel. We also appreciate your arguments and your briefing today. Your case is submitted. And that concludes our three cases for this morning's docket. Mr. Clerk, will now adjourn.
All rise. The Honorable Court of Appeals for the 7th Judicial Circuit.